Mrs. Lambert, nice to see you. Will you please call roll? Next up is the presentation by Calabria Capital LLC. Everybody said that right. Mr. Repay, could you do a quick introduction, please?
Well, I think Dave would be a better introduction than I would.
All right, Dave.
I threw under the bus.
All right, I'll make the presentation. So this group is interested in a business deal with Maya Energy for property that is licensed by the commission to a third party named Maya. Please state your name and address for the record, please, and the notes so that Mr. Nimitz is here, and you can go.
Good evening. My name is James Appiah. I am the managing partner and CEO of Calabria Capital. Our address is 260 East 90th Drive, Maryville, Indiana, 46410. Calabria Capital is a investment group that founded alternative energy production. We bought and owned technology that was developed in Europe for clean refuge recycling or clean trash recycling. We, not at this location, but the ultimate plan is to turn this garbage into a fuel source and that fuel source into a clean burned electrical power source. We do not have any stacks. We do not have any incineration. Everything is a pyrolysis program and derivatives thereof. Our process over 15 years ago was produced and shown to Sierra Club. We have DOE permission to produce and do this program inside the United States. And if you'll bear with me, I'll go through some of the programs and show you what we do do. The waste to energy process in Germany was at an unrecorded level 20 years ago. At this point in time, Germany now imports by train hundreds of millions of tons of trash just to create energy. If we just go through our process, not at this site, but our process in total has multiple avenues. It can take this created, compacted, sorted, turn it into a fuel stock or a feedstock energy, or it can take it into a crude oil base. In Germany, they're using the crude oil for more relevant reasons in today's standards than any other time before. It generates a crude that's equal to, in their words, not ours, Brent crude. The process is all containerized, and what John's showing you right now is just, this is the containerized, go back one, John.
Sorry.
This is the containerized program. It's just an artistic rendering, except for the bottom picture. That's actually a design. That's actually a feature that's in Germany. The containerization is so that we can actually go to any existing dump and mine a dump. The process cleans everything that we know except for asbestos fibers and nuclear waste. We can take any THP product, any oil-based product, and clean it to nothing. We can take earth and soils, the cappings in between layers of a dump facility, and clean the soil and just generate it out and put it out as good, clean soil. Then taking those materials and turning them into heat energy. Our byproduct is two. It's non-potable but clean water and a biochar. Our biochar is a marketable product sold for air cleaners, air filters, and different things like that. It's very similar to what if you would walk in and buy a charcoal filter. The process is over 20 years old. It's in 17 existing nations. It's fully functional. The largest program that I'm personally aware of is in Warsaw, Poland, and that cleans more than 240,000 tons of trash per year in Warsaw, creating over 3 gigawatts of power from that source. The sources of power are multiple. We added to the German technology. We bought some technology for solar.
We're not buying, you know, the sell of the product. I'm just kind of interested in how the product is going to move forward with what was Maya's original thing, Jim, and okay. How that's going to go. I mean,
very good.
You're getting in the weeds a little bit.
Very good. I'm sorry.
All right.
So basically, our thought in the Gary process was to use the permit exactly as presented today, and build the exact same building that we saw presented to us and stay with that. And then as we got that finished and done and developed a relationship with this board, possibly come back to you for additional sectors and see if we can't expand and use that entire parcel of land. And that's what we wanted to do. We also on that parcel wanted, instead of creating electricity, we do some greenhouses and different things that would help the community. So instead of wasting our source of heat, we would actually use that excess heat to create greenhouses that might be used for plantings and some different things, because we're aware that you have more acres that might be community farm based.
Right. You know, we are the River Commission, so we're very, and it's close to a lot of, protected areas. So that's important as well. But, you know, the license that is out there is for, you know, the piece of real estate to basically lease it for 90 something years from the commission. And then the commission's responsibility is just to provide that opportunity to this third party. They then have to go through all the other local, state, regional, federal processes to be able to do what they want to do on that land. That's not our decision. So that, from that being said, you would consider this an environmental reclamation, site?
Absolutely. Okay. To the extent that we would even be willing to help with any of your properties or any other civil properties that needed to that service to be cleaned. This program is not intended to be a sole profit generating parcel. It's intended to be an ecologically balanced parcel coming into the Midwest.
Outstanding. Is there anything else you want to present before I open it up? Because I'm sure these gentlemen have some questions.
I think we're good.
Okay, perfect. I'll open it up back to the commissioners. Anybody like to say anything?
I have some questions, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Mr. Broadnex. Nice to see you.
Good to see you too, boss. Mr. Zappia, Anthony Broadnex, I'm one of the commissioners. I'm out of the area currently, so sorry. I guess you can see my face. I can't see yours.
Yeah.
But so first of all, you were talking about what you're going to do or what you can do with your process, but you said not at this site. What are you specifically going to do at this site?
At this site, the only permit that's issued is I believe is construction waste recycling. And I think there was an original status for some municipal solid waste. We're seeing if we can deal with that, but we will work with whatever permit was issued and licensed by the state.
Okay, so I noticed there were some differences even in the address of the company from the presentation that we were provided 2 days ago than the one I just saw today. So maybe the information I'm gonna ask you is not relevant. But in the presentation that I read that our attorney sent us, you said, or your company said that the processes or the products or the services that you can provide, I didn't see anything about solid construction waste. So what's your experience in that?
I've been in construction my entire life. Recycling construction waste is the basis of any garbage. I mean, any municipal solid waste.
Well, construction is not recycling. We've all been in construction for a long time, but that's not recycling. So I'm asking about construction waste, which is what you said you want to do here, right?
Yes, but recycling construction waste is no different than what we do. We can recycle drywall. We can turn the gypsum back to a usable product. We can take any of the wood products and either reclaim them or push them through the process to do an alternative method. I mean, we have resources to sell anything from our recycled plastic products to the wood products that we do.
Okay, because when I looked at the presentation, I saw a lot about what was it, mining, Bitcoin or crypto and all kinds of other things, solar beam, that sorts of thing. Okay, geothermal. I saw a lot of other things. I didn't see anything about recycling in there in the presentation we were provided. Maybe it's out of date.
When I put the presentation together, it's designed for the entire nation. And I'm sorry that I didn't do one specifically for this purpose, but
that would have been helpful.
To us, that's the lowest hanging fruit is recycling construction waste.
Okay, thank you. Another point, I think you mentioned the site in Germany. I think the town was Hern. Have you ever been to that site?
No, I haven't. My partner actually operates the site with the primary source, Aecon Manufacturing.
Yeah, have you been to Aecon Manufacturing site? I think you said it's in Switzerland.
I personally have not. I've been to Switzerland many times, but I have not toured that facility except for virtually.
So I think the note on your presentation says Aecon is either a manufacturer or they develop and design these facilities. I was on their website earlier, and they seem to be a solar panel provider, not a facility provider.
You're looking.
I could not find another Aecon with the K's AG site.
I'd be happy to forward that link to you tonight.
Please do.
Aecon Manufacturing is a very popular name in Europe.
A2K0N, right?
Yes.
AG. I think those are all my questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you. Who else? Mr. Chairman, I have a service to. So the material we've been provided, the relevance to the European sites, how is it relevant to this site here in Gary that's proposed for construction waste recycling? Is there any relevance at all?
Or yes, there is. Okay. It's basically the source and
the same process as that you described in your first 5 minutes presentation doesn't have any relevance to what's going to happen.
The sorting of that process does.
Sorting.
It's automatic. It's an automated sorting process.
And there's examples of that in this country?
Yes.
Which plants are you operating or overseeing or managing?
I don't personally, but Aecon and my partner does.
Is there one locally within?
There is nothing in the U.S. This would be the first U.S. presence of Aecon.
Okay. So you guys are sending presidents in the United States with EPA and all the other regulations?
Yes, but we've already been interviewed by the U.S. EPA, Sierra Group, and the Department of Energy.
And you said that this is going to be basically for clean construction debris that
yes.
You recycle, asphalt, concrete,
not
chipboard.
Yeah, we wouldn't recycle asphalt because there are existing processes yeah. with both Welsh and Reith and Kelly right now that would outweigh our avenues.
So we would transfer that out of 2000 area. What would you be recycling or what construction?
And anything and everything else from crushing any type of masonry product, concrete, or anything else to any wood to drywall to, you know, recycling gypsum, different things like that.
And those processes you said haven't been established in the United States yet?
No.
So it's a huge undertaking then for your company to come into Gary and start this process.
It is. It's a $260 million investment we're looking at putting into Gary. And our company has a mandate to hire only union people and preference local hires.
Anything else, sir?
No.
I have a question. Yes, sir.
The waste that will be delivered to the site, will it be just explicitly construction debris?
If that's all the permit, we have not seen from Maya the gross amount of paperwork that we were expecting to see before this. We've seen some segmented portions. And if it is that permit requires only construction waste, yes, then it'll be only dumpsters.
And the facility that you just mentioned, a very large investment into this facility.
Yes.
Are we to assume that in the pictures in the presentation, the containers and the smaller facility here, are those buildings going to be associated with the facility also just with the construction debris? Or is that future plans that you spoke about having chips down the road with more property?
The process that we would do it at the moment is the permit that was already presented by Maya to the state. And that's a different process than it's the same process, but they were going to do it by hand, and we're doing it automatically. The equipment is tipping fields and everything else. They have the dumping sites. They have everything. We would work with those same designs and plans, and our engineers in Europe have made sure that our footprint fits within their facilities, but we have no intention of altering the Maya facility that's already designed and been accepted.
You mentioned earlier that this is like a, you're not in this for profit, but you're going to invest $280 million.
I didn't say that it wasn't for profit. Everything in life, if you're investing money, is
exactly,
profit.
Absolutely.
What I said was it wasn't solely a profit-generating process. Our group does 10% back to the community in every nation we're in, and our mandate is to provide jobs. When I did this originally was 15 years ago, I traveled to Europe and did speeches in Europe to provide jobs that would fulfill those lost USW and UAW work in the Midwest. That's what Europe is funding. They're funding the opportunity to provide life quality jobs with this type of process.
The down the road, the future expansion of the properties, what do you have in mind, or what would be the goal of that property, and what would you do?
I would like to create a exhibition site for our process at this site that would be the most advanced technology that we could do, but that we know is no less than 3 to 5 years away just in permitting. I would like to have that site be able to generate power and to do other things, and maybe take those sources of energy and do some other things within that regional facility. But it's limited by land. It's limited by what our permits could be and by what we can permit in the city of Gary.
Do you have an ultimate end user for the product after the breakdown of the construction debris? Do you have a prospective client to use the end
product? If we take that product to a pelletized fuel, yes. There are multiple. The biochar is sold worldwide, and if we take the pelletized process, yes, there are multiple users all over the world for that product.
I just got one more question, and just for me, I hope this isn't an odd question. Pyrolysis. What is that process? What is it?
The pyrolysis process is a chemical degradation of any material. It's done in an anaerobic setting in a sealed container. There are no emissions. It's a zero emissions process. But the pyrolysis process is in the U.S. has been used for 40 plus years, sometimes properly, sometimes improperly. I mean, you can call some of what our farm communities use as a pyrolysis process, where they just cap a waste stream with a rubber cover and they add a bacteria to it and call it pyrolysis. It really depends on the catalysts and the programs. And it's actually an advantage to us to be bringing those catalysts in from overseas, from Germany, because that then provides multiple layers of EPA inspections of our chemical analysis or product and everything else. We would not be able to bring anything in that wasn't U.S. approved because it's coming from overseas.
Mr. Chairman, I have another question.
Hold on a second, Anthony.
Yeah, thank you. That's all.
Right. Anybody else before I let Anthony have another bite at the apple?
I just have two questions.
Yes,
two. One, the permits that were issued currently with the IDEM and other, we're not changing any of the use whatsoever that's already been approved.
Correct.
Two, the way this was presented originally, what we're doing, how the process is going, that's not going to change at all either.
With the exception of, we had heard that there were 120 people sorting trash by hand. That's not the situation. Our thing is more automated, and our intention is to train and teach people and do that by unit hands.
And what's your estimate of?
I would assume bodies. That over the course of this, that it would expand to about 90 some full-time positions.
For just recycling construction debris, not how we're producing.
No, just the waste handling side.
Well, that's just what you're going, Mr. Whitaker.
So piggybacking on Commissioner Wisniewski, in terms of qualification of participants and employees, what skill set would you be talking about?
Skill sets would vary. They would vary from anything from operating engineers to load and truck in that materials to labor groups, labor pools to clean up after the fact, to electronics people, to computerization, to robotics trained qualifications. You know, there's just a myriad of different positions.
Okay. For the biochar and the non-potable, you mentioned that around the world there are companies that could take those type of products. And domestically, are there quite a few companies domestically?
The biochar, yes. The biochar, you can walk into any Menards or Home Depot and find carbon filters. That's basically what our biochar is the base of. As far as the non-potable water, we're talking about an agricultural or a horticultural use.
Okay.
Only because it's the Midwest. If we were out west, that would have an immediate use to take it to a cleaner level and be potable.
All right. What is the status of any type of communication with the municipalities that you guys, I know domestically you say you haven't done anything, and you haven't been to some of the places, and have you been to Warsaw?
I have not been to overseas except for virtually my tours overseas were more financial and administrative, acquiring the funding.
Okay. Typically, how do you guys, well, if you can answer it or sort of shed some light on whatever could help, in terms of community relations, how, I know you mentioned that you give back 10%, but on the front end, in terms of actually establishing community relations with the municipalities or a region, how do you guys typically go about that?
We would first open up any political avenues possible to get into the communities through that venue. But in this instance, we did not do so because we thought this was our first step. Without the land, everything else is irrelevant. So once we acquired whatever it would take to assume this permit, then we would go ahead and do that. But my background was East Chicago Schools and Gary Schools for multiple years. I did the construction and maintenance of both. I know what it takes to create local jobs, and I've done so.
So, Mr. Chair.
You mentioned catalysts and processes to break down some of the construction debris and referred to agriculture. Can you maybe expand upon any the process? Sometimes does that produce an odor? So, for example, if you were to add an enzyme or a catalyst for recycling mulch and lawn debris, that does produce some odor. So can you mention?
Once again, our processes are all sealed. In a normal plant, there would be 16 plus sealed containers based on the consumption values of what we would do. So it's also all done anaerobic. So it's in an oxygen depleted situation. So there is no exhaust to the outside air. Secondly, our biochar is ours. Even in our warehouse facilities where we're taking in and exchanging and sorting and separating that, we don't exhaust any air to a community that's not filtered. So just in our warehousing and our trucking sections alone, even the diesel exhaust that would be expended in those warehouses clean before it's expelled.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Mr. Chair, I have one more question.
Hold on a second, Mr. Whitaker. Can we go back to Mr. Brown next? Mr. Brown next.
Thank you. Mr. Zappia, if it's not confidential, can you talk about who in your group has operating experience? You mentioned a number of activities, but every time we ask if you've seen one of the actual operating plants, you haven't. So who in your group is actually operating one of those facilities?
The entire relationship with the German group will come in. They'll set up, they'll train, they're working with our U.S. engineers because they're not licensed here to create. And then they'll set up and train and leave a contingent of engineers in here. That group is associated with the university called Fraunhofer University. Fraunhofer University is one of the largest engineering groups in Connecticut, and they intend to joint venture with us and provide some of that training for us. And we've reached out to local engineering groups and decided, you know, to bring them in too. So
is that
a myriad of pre-trained people, but this program was developed to create U.S. jobs. not foreign entities right. working here. So the program is designed for them to train and hand over.
So has it ever been done by anybody in your group in the U.S.?
In the United States, no, but in foreign nations, yes.
Were you involved in those activities in foreign nations?
Hands-on, no, I wasn't. My background is more of the funding.
Okay. Is Neosphere the engineering arm of your group?
No, Neosphere is not. The engineering arm is a multitude of people, anyone from Ready Engineering, which is multiples, and then we're bringing in other local people.
One more. Sorry. If you can, give me the website of this ACON, because I can't find any other information on ACON, or yourself, quite frankly. I'd like to know your experience other than funding. I mean, you speak like you really know the process, but you openly admit that you've never done the process. That makes me a little skeptical, quite honestly.
I don't know how to answer that, but I don't have ACON's address right off the top of my head, but I'll be happy to forward it to you.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Whitaker.
The design you have up on the screen, the modular design.
Yes.
Can you speak to, in terms of assembly, is it a, is it brought in, what, from an assembly standpoint, a prefabrication standpoint, how does it actually?
At one point in time, we were going to ship the process in from Germany. We met Mr. DePauli from ACMS and several electrical groups and other union groups and negotiated with Germany to actually build, assemble 50% of 500 plants, 250 plants in Northwest Indiana to be able to ship out worldwide. Once they saw the credentials of the team, they were more willing to negotiate with us the fabrication in the Midwest. So those products would be assembled at another location, but in our communities here.
Okay. And so going back to the question about distinguishing between the type of, I think the word refuse, but recycled material, primarily construction, is there also the potential to use refuse such as solid waste?
Yes.
Which is the household waste, so to speak.
Yes, sir. Not only just municipal solid waste, but raw sewage.
Okay. That's interesting. Okay. All right. That's just, you know, we didn't, the whole garbage concept just sort of, it's always rubbed me wrong. The last thing we needed was a bit more garbage coming in.
My interest in Gary, Indiana was to see if we could negotiate or somehow find a way to mine that dump that's in the city and clean that piece of real estate. I don't think that this is a location for it, that dump is, but to take this process, show what we could do, and then negotiate to put a plant on that dump until that site is cleaned.
The option that you mentioned earlier about the feedstock or crude oil, you know, that in, it sounds like in other locations that they may or may not actually be receiving the actual refuse, but they are receiving the feedstock.
Yes. The crude oil. There worldwide, there are plants that are generated just to create feedstock, and then they ship to an inner city location, and then the inner city location creates power. In safe Bern, Germany, that's what they do. They're cleaning the feedstock out. They're processing the feedstock outside of the city and then bringing it inside. But ACON, in every presentation I've ever seen digitally, their sites are pristine and perfectly clean. And that's why I chose them. They just have no concept of, they do not allow the concept of waste to set the tone of what their business is. There's no filth on those sites.
Jim, this is Commissioner Roddick.
Hold on a second.
All right.
Roger.
I'm good.
Mr. Broadings, hold on a second. Mr. Wickham, I have a question for you. Can you turn on the microphone, please?
Sure.
Because this is great. We're working on this contract. And my question is that, you know, could you briefly describe the difference between a license and a contract and what our responsibility as a board is for that particular piece of paper as it relates to this discussion?
Okay. All right.
Into the microphone, please, because I want to listen to it later.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. We have received a request to approve the transfer and or assignment of a Maya license to a new firm. The new firm is Calabria Capital LLC. The controlling language in the license agreement provides that Maya may not assign its rights under the license without prior written approval from the commission. Which approval, however, shall not be unreasonably withheld, and which shall include, but not be limited to, Assini Calabria agreeing to, in writing, all terms and stipulations set forth in the original license. As long as the transferee, or Assini in this case, Calabria, agrees to all the terms and conditions set forth in the license, we have no opportunity to reject their offer. Basically, a contract is the same thing as a license. They're synonymous. But we chose to use the terminology of the license when we initially entered into this agreement because it provided more than the best protection that it's better than the contract.
Thank you. So my question then has to do, like in my world, it has to do when you have an assignment that happens at closing. In this world, being the public sector, what happens and how does that transfer occur? Would it be when whoever has the contract is purchased or acquired by another firm and it transfers at closing? When does that process happen in the public sector?
Yeah, well, in my view, Maya, of course, made the initial request. The contract itself and the license itself provides that we have to approve. So if we choose to approve it, then basically Calabria steps into the shoes of mine and basically not it.
So that just happens at closing when they acquire that those assets.
Well, I thought it would be better, given the fact that we're a governmental agency, that the governmental agency meet and approve.
I understand.
No, there's nothing in the law.
Because usually we don't have a discussion about, you know, these types of things with the billboard or something. We're doing it, but just because of those items and in the first license that we've done, put it in front of the board to have a, you know, have that decision.
That's my view, and that's why I recommend it.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I'm sorry, Mr. Broadnex. Mr. Castellanos, I see you. So unmute yourself if you want to ask a question, but let Mr. Broadnex finish.
You're on mute anyway, Dave. Okay, so Jim, so you would be the CEO. Would you be the operating or functioning CEO of this facility?
Yes.
Okay, so then I'll go back to my question, and I apologize if it didn't sound correct, but I'll try to rephrase it in a way that you could possibly answer it. What is your either formal education or actual experience with operating this type of plant or understanding this type of technology or science?
The technology and science, as you can tell from my conversation, is something that I've studied for 18 years. But as an administrator, I would be hiring and developing the personnel that would actually be performing these tasks, and hopefully from local resources. I would fall to resources of civil engineers, environmental engineers, and scientists. We have a scientific group led by Scott Walters from St. Louis, from Kansas City, that actually does environmental sciences, has lived here most of his life. He started with the ag fields and then went into other, and that's why we keep going back to these things. We have, besides environmental science, chem engineers, mechanical engineers, chemistry majors, and then we tap a wealth of resources, anything from Stanford's group to the front office teams. And of course, our locals, both Purdue and Rose Holman.
Yeah, that's my alma mater. That's why I'm asking a lot of these questions. I couldn't find much information on most of your staff. except the student at PUFW.
Allow me some latitude. First and foremost, actually being on Zoom is in violation of most of my contract life. I mean, I did this only for you to out of respect for this group, but the Department of Energy does not allow me to get into any details on Zoom. And then if I'm a power purveyor, I don't have a public life. You may see somebody from NIPSCO, that's a front piece, but you don't see the actual power purveyors in on LinkedIn and doing anything like that. My stuff has been taken down for 15 or 20 years. But I started with 4392nd Civil Engineering in the United States Air Force. I was put on the US EPA's mailing list in 1974 by Adam Benjamin. I've worked with Benjamin, Vance Harkey, Birch Bayh, Ray J. Madden, all these people throughout my entire life up until Pete Skoski and those teams. I've installed Owens Corning evacuated tube in Thule, Greenland in 1976. This is not something that's new to me. This alternative energy field is phenomenally my life.
Cool. Thank you.
All right, anything else, gentlemen? Dave?
Yeah. You're on mute, Dave. No.
You're on mute, Dave.
We can see the red light.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. First of all, I'm all for economic development. It's going to uplift the quality of life in Gary and in Northwest Indiana. But personally, I had a chance to take a look at this company a little bit. A little concerned for the mere fact because it was dissolved for a number of years and all of a sudden it reappeared on the scope as the same corporation with another name. I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about anybody, but the point I'm getting at is that this is too much for us to digest at the moment. And I personally think that considering with the economical environment impact that's hitting the city of Gary now, with all the trucking companies coming in and impacting the environment, the community itself, and I've been to a couple of these sessions, they're up in arms about these types of operations. So my real question is that rather than us allowing this lease to go forward, I think it'd probably be best if we allow this corporation to go ahead and to start the same way that Amaya has started and let them go through the process to be approved rather than the onus be put upon us as commissioners, because I think we may be open to liabilities. That's something that we may not be able to understand. That's my point. And really, really gets down to it, is that we need more time to digest this. Just today, right before this meeting here, I got a couple calls from two community groups regarding a special meeting. They want me to get back to them. I didn't get back to them at all until I knew what we were going to discuss. And I really won't discuss it with them unless we have our next meeting. But anyway, that's my position, and I'm hoping that the gentleman could understand that. There's just a lot of concern about this process. Thank you.
Thank you. Comment to that, sir?
My comment? We would, at that point in time, if we had to start from scratch, there would be no advantage of buying my.
Understood. Gentlemen, anything else?
No more for me.
Yes, sir.
Is Maya currently up to date with their payments? As per the license agreement.
Yeah, my understanding is they're a month behind.
That's correct.
Month behind. I know it's in excess of $100,000 as of June 1st.
Correct.
And they have the.
I could go in another room.
Does that have any effect on the license?
No. Well, I mean, we can sue them for default, which is not saying it doesn't affect the deal. I assume, frankly, that Calabria is going to pick that up if the deal closes.
Yes, sir.
And the only way that this license transfers is if the deal closes.
And is this under, I guess I'll ask you, sir, is there time constraints that you're under to close
this? We would like to move
this. Why these, the interim meeting for us?
Yes, sir. And we didn't want to buy this corporation without this board's go ahead. It would not be advantageous to us to come in any type of hospital.
And I appreciate your investment in the community. It's a sizable investment, absolutely. And anything to change the landscape of Northwest Indiana, Gary, putting people to work, not only building the facility and staffing it completely moving forward. Appreciate your support of local and organized labor. If we were to ask for more information to vet this on our end, does that put you in jeopardy?
No. I would be happy
with the transfer.
I would be, you mean technical information regarding
I think, to Dave's point, I think there are some questions. And I don't know if we can get all those here tonight. It doesn't seem like I think there's possibly.
Right.
And I know on my end, maybe.
We would be happy to provide any.
And I'm not trying to block the endeavor at all.
Okay. Anything else?
Can I ask a question of Dave?
Sure. We need to do something.
Look, if we go ahead and say you guys can go do this, it has to be stipulated that it meets everything that we've already put in the license agreement right now.
That's correct.
And if they're in default, it's done. It's over.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay. But we can't, according to what you described earlier, we can't with unreasonably hold if everything meets exactly what we need.
Correct.
Did initially with the permits and everything else.
Yes.
And if Maya goes away and just dissolves and this deal doesn't happen, the property stays as it is, it just comes back to us.
Exactly.
We just don't get, you know, the 100 grand every year.
Right.
So the default, the worst case default, you know, from the business perspective, in my opinion, is building a bunch of stuff there and then default, giving it all back. But one step at a time. So, I mean, let's say you gentlemen under the premise that this is a license agreement that we have with a third party. It's a legal matter. They meet everything. So it's just a transfer of who the licensee is as far as a name, because nothing's at the site. Nothing's ever happened. It's all been presentations. But the check's been shown.
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to approve the transfer license agreement by Maya Energy LLC to Calabria Capital LLC, which shall include but not is limited to Calabria Capital LLC's agreement in writing to all the terms and stipulations set forth in the license agreement between Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission and Maya Energy LLC dated January 17, 2017.
Mr. Chairman, excuse me, in that vein.
There's a motion. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
In that vein, I have in my possession a written signature block whereby Calabria approves and accepts all these things.
Understood. So there's a motion. Is there a second? Going once, going twice. No second. All right. Nothing happens as of right now. No approval as it sits at pertaining to this particular board. Dave, is there something they have to do else with, from a legal perspective?
No.
Just Mr. Repay, what about Robert's rule? Is there something that Robert made up that I don't know about?
No. There's no motion. No second.
No motion, no second, no action. I appreciate everybody coming out. We didn't get to do public talk, right? Because it's not a public hearing.
Adjournment.
Yeah. Gentlemen.
Move to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Are we still having to do roll call? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your time.